The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM channel 158. Radio's Gil Alexander. That's television's Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Sup?
He brings the pretty every day.
That's right.
To the show. Still to come, Zach Cohen will join us this hour, as will Dr. Bob with his play of the week. We haven't seen Bob in a couple weeks, have we? Was he off last week or the week before?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that way, yeah. And then Steve Fezzik, Fezzik Fridays, a little later on the show. Everything that's on Fezzik's mind, as he, I guess he's coming to Circa for us and then leaving, then coming back to Circa tonight to pick up his check.
Yep.
For Circa Millions. He finished ninth, T9.
I think I made it all the way through his novella text message this morning.
By the way, he didn't only finish tied for ninth in Circa, he ended up winning the Westgate second half of the season contest.
Bro, Stevie.
So you know what we got to talk about with him? We got to talk about the difference between contests and real life betting.
Yep.
Because, and we talked about this with other guys too, and this is not a, when I say that, people immediately, something in their brain goes to, oh, it's, if you're a contest good, that means you're not quite as, no, it's just a great discipline you have.
Yeah.
An amazing talent you have for knowing contest play. That doesn't necessarily translate, could, by the way, doesn't necessarily translate to being successful betting contest aside.
Yep.
We've had some guys like that. We've had some contest winners in the past. I won't name names that openly admit that. But.
Oh, I mean, we have, yeah.
We'll talk to Stevie.
I mean,
How many contests has he won? Seven of them now?
No, it's just, I mean, I'm looking through what he sent us. I don't. Think he'll care if I should? I mean, he's getting about to collect checks for over six figures.
There you go.
Like, yes.
Then you wonder why the wife just lets him go willy-nilly about town.
Everybody on Twitter can rip on Steve all you want, but like, he's about to collect checks today for over six figures.
That's right.
Good on you, Fezzik. I will continue to rip you for your the ridiculous Starbucks things and stuff like that, but.
Yeah. Brian Schaefer, 31. Gil, you're a little light. Eagles are now 5.5-point favorites. Yeah, it's five and a half. You're right, which brings us right back into what we were talking about earlier, teams you trust to advance further, and we're talking about the Niners and the Bears. And if the Niners beat the Eagles and the Bears beat the Packers, the matchups in the NFC next week will be boop, 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 Niners at Seattle, Rams at Bears. That's how it would shake out. In which case, I would say in the Niners versus Bears thing, advantage Niners. But they still have to get by the Eagles.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to circle back to that. Okay,
yeah.
I want to circle back to that because I want to do the last one here.
Yeah.
Who do you trust to advance further? And this is the NFC heavyweights, Seahawks or Rams?
Rams.
Okay.
As I think most would say.
I think most would say that too. And
despite the game being at Seattle.
I'm at that point too. Both have byes this week.
yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah,
can I give you look ahead lines? You want to save that? I know you look at openers this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, I know you can say them.
Okay, because those matchups are up at DraftKings, right? So Seahawks hosting the Niners would be 5.5 right now. Obviously, these will change over the weekend.
Yeah, I would guess lower than that.
And then the Rams would be 4.5-point road favorites at Chicago.
I would guess maybe even a tick higher than that. I would guess 5.5, 6 on the Rams.
Man, I think I would too. I don't know if I'd go full 6.
And I would have guessed less on the Niners Seahawks one.
You think Seahawks would be a lighter favorite than that?
That's what I would have guessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's pretty. So this is the last one. Yeah, I trust the Rams more than Seahawks. The interesting one is the Niners Bears one because I intrinsically trust Brock Purdy over Caleb Williams. I trust the Niners over the Bears as two neutral football teams. But the way the question is worded is to advance further. I like the Bears' chances against the Packers, obviously, a little more than I do the Niners against the. Even though I'm bullish on the Niners, a little more than I do the Niners on the Eagle against the Eagles. But if they were both to advance, then that advantage sways to the Niners' side to me.
Yep.
Chad Lasso, is it too crazy to say I think Bears could go all the way, and Caleb and Ben Johnson are the next Mahomes and Andy Reid? I think it's undeniable that Caleb has an insane ceiling. I don't know. I'm a Lions fan, and I'm terrified. Wow. Well, insane is kind of, is it too crazy? I don't know if I'm going to use the word crazy, but it's a little bullish.
I think Ben Johnson. A little Meshuggah,
if you know what I mean.
I think Ben Johnson has an insane ceiling. I don't know how good of a coach that guy could be one day. I think he's already a good coach.
If Caleb can just reel in the whirling dervish,
the freestyling,
plays.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get it. You're athletic. You make some of those, and they're great plays. But it's like, generally speaking, you know, it's just the details. That last play against the Packers, the first time they played, when Keyshawn Nixon picked the ball off in the end zone, just like off your back foot, right? Yep. Throwing it short when he probably could have gotten the touchdown there. And then he comes out with a great, and listen, it's a huge, gigundous improvement over last year.
Gigundous.
All right. Shall we do these one by one? Little whip around in the NFL?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Starting with the Panthers and the Rams. Let's do these chronologically again. After the college semifinal tonight between Indiana and Oregon, it's a doubleheader in the NFL tomorrow, a tripleheader on Sunday, and a one game on Monday. And then next week, doubleheader Saturday in the NFL, doubleheader Sunday, and then Monday night, the national championship, the Natty for college football. So these are the last two great weekends. So Rams at Panthers. Rams are 10-point favorites at the Panthers. Panthers beat the Rams. Remember that. Panthers beat the Rams. There were two picks, though, in that game. One, when L.A. had a goal-to-go situation, and Stafford threw a pick in the end zone. And then the other was a pick six from Mike Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that, 30-27 Panthers. And the Panthers, remember that last touchdown also, was on a 4th-and-2. It was like 40-some yards to Teteroa McMillan from Bryce. So there's a lot, obviously, that went the Panthers' way that perhaps isn't the most sustainable. Have you heard one human being say that they think the Panthers can win this game outright?
No.
I haven't either.
No, I'm always smiling because I don't know how many times Andy first said it on this show on Monday, and like there are multiple sharp NFL handicappers that I've basically heard say the same thing, that I cannot get to 10 on this game.
I can't either.
But there's no way I'm taking the points with the Panthers.
I can't either.
It's
but
wild.
I feel exactly that way.
Real quick, you're going to have Davante Adams back. It sounds like he was pretty much ready to go last week, but they wanted to hold him out for one more week. I think the big one, Quentin Lake, back with this defense now. Like, I don't think we thought of him as a big-time safety earlier on in the season, but like when this defense was playing it at their best, he was a part of that. Coming back, man, this is the best offense in the NFL, Gil, versus a bottom-10 defense. Like, yes, we saw this play out just a few weeks ago. I thought my Matthew Stafford MVP ticket was done after that game, right? I really thought that was the pivot point, and it wasn't going to have a chance after that. This is tough, man. Especially the Rams offensively, right? Like, I don't know that I'm running to bet an over 28.5 on a team total either, but how are the Rams not scoring in this game? Like, that's the, I have nothing in it. If anything, I'd be looking at something like that.
Cut to a shot of us late in the third quarter, like, how are the Panthers in this game?
Yeah.
They can still win it. Panthers, they really do flummox handicappers.
I mean, I said it a month ago, right? Like, yeah. I can't, and I'm going to stand by this. Even if the Panthers somehow beat the Rams, I'm not betting a game that the Panthers are involved in anymore. I'm so wrong every time.
Yeah. Second game. On Saturday, after the Rams and Panthers, it's the Bears and the Packers. The Packers now have settled in, I say that cautiously,
yep,
as a 1.5-point road favorite. Totals 44.5. What's the weather looking like? First thing you got to check for this one, the weather in Chicago.
Yeah, it was bad when we looked the other
day. Saturday night. Well, right now, looking like, let's see, Saturday night, AM snow, but this isn't in the AM, this is in the PM. Later in the day, what are you seeing?
Seeing my internet take forever. Yeah. Real quick, while you're looking it up, I'll go over injuries real quick. Both these teams coming in fairly healthy. The Bears will have all their kind of key receivers back that have been kind of in and out of the lineup here recently. Roma Dunze will be good to go. Kyler Gordon will be back at defensive backfield. Packers also coming in pretty healthy, too. I mean, obviously, they lost Tucker Kraft to IR earlier in the season, but we haven't seen many games where they've had Christian Watson, Jacobs, Dobbs, Reed all out there and ready to go. So I think that's big time for the Packers that they're going to have. Jordan Love's going to have all those guys available for him to use. Just a couple more of my notes here. But Bears, it's crazy how many teams we're talking about this week that are like, good offense, terrible defense, right? Like, the Bears' defense is awful. They've just been living off turnovers all year long.
Plus 22.
The tweet we got earlier, right? Like, hey, yeah, if they keep having a plus one turnover differential in every game they play, this team's probably going to do pretty well. So, see how that turns out.
Plus 22 and 6 wins from behind in the last 2 minutes of game.
That's crazy. I think we're the Bears' biggest shot in this game, Gil. It is the Packers' rush defense is very meh. Like it's bottom third in the league, and this Bears' rush offense has turned into one of the best in the game.
A none guy is great. Yep. Here's the latest weather from three. This is from 3 hours ago. This is the most recent I can find. Temperatures due to plunge to around 20 degrees Fahrenheit at kickoff. Snow is forecast to fall steadily throughout the day, but as I said earlier, with flurries expected, taper off to flurries during the game itself. But there is unlikely to be a large accumulation of snow falling over the stadium. Weather models have the worst of the weather to the north of Chicago, but winds are expected to peak, and here's the rub, around 30 miles per hour, making it a difficult night for passers and kickers. Oh, boy. By the way, can we also say this? Can we enjoy these times in our lives where we've always taken outdoor football for granted? I know Kelly's an indoor football guy. He's not part of this conversation. It's his worst take ever. But for those of us, I think there for the rest of the world, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, we may look back on this weekend wistfully and say, remember when all 6 games were outdoors in the elements? All right, you can come back now.
I'd like to know truly who the better team is played on a neutral setting.
What do you mean, in terms of what the line would be?
No. I'm just like, you know, indoors, fair conditions. Not wind, one wind gust is going to affect the other.
Worst take ever. Coming back. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game, doing the old wild card round, whip around. Last thing about the Bears and the Packers.
That's a better title than I put on anything.
Wild card round, whip around. Yeah. Wild card round, whip around. Who does that, the 30 mile per hour wins, who does that help more, Packers or Bears? Or can you not even say?
Man, I definitely wouldn't have said this at the beginning of the season, but just going through those rushing numbers that I went through,
feels like the Bears.
Helps the Bears more.
Yeah, feels like the Bears. Those are the two on Saturday. Sunday morning, triple header. Buffalo and the Jaguars. This is a pick 'em. This is settled in as a pick 'em. Finally, the line's just like, okay, we can't decide. The market. Pick 'em. I got the Jags. Again, Monday morning, I bet the Jags in this one. I bet the Bears, by the way, in the previous game on Monday morning as well. I bet the Jags here. Couldn't believe that the Bills were a slight favorite. Thought the Jags would be a slight favorite. I do feel like this is, I think, I speak for many. I'm not certainly not alone in this position. A lot of people thought this was sort of a disrespectful line to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are the winners of 8 straight to close the season. Josh Allen versus the Jags.
I'm extremely uncomfortable with our Jags positions because all I've heard is Jags love this week. And it's, I don't know, it feels right though, man. Like this team is, look, Bills, one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. They got a great offensive line. You got Josh Allen. You got James Cook. Jags are 11th against the run. Like this team doesn't really have many holes right now. Like the defense is playing well. The offense has been awesome ever since Jacoby Myers got there. We've got this downfield passing threat now that just didn't exist before. Man, there's just not many holes in this Jacksonville team. Buffalo's got to go on the road. I have no idea how injured Josh Allen is. I mean,
That's what Drew brought up on the Megapod yesterday because he's on the Jaguars too. It's like you don't just get a was it Drew who said this? I forget. I thought it was. You don't just get a foot X-ray just for giggles.
Dude, and then it was back-to-back weeks he had to do it.
Yeah,
it was after both games. Look, I think Josh Allen is one of the toughest players in football. Everybody knows how I feel about Josh Allen. I'm in a tough spot with this one, Gil, because I'm all over the Jags. Teased him up with the Bears and the Packers. and then played the money line as well. But the, you know, I love Josh Allen. I'm catching a lot of heat on Twitter this week. I don't know where all these people were at when I was backing up my Josh Allen takes over the
years. You're Mr. Josh Allen.
I'm Mr. Josh Allen. Now I don't have any faith in this game, and the Buffalo fans are not happy with me.
What is the Buffalo Bills fans are very sensitive? What is the fan base that is the most sensitive either NFL? Well, let's just take NFL. It might be Buffalo. They do not, if you say anything negative about their team, they lose their minds.
And I don't know, the Drake May snap reaction, we got at the beginning of the season was a little interesting.
Yeah, sure was.
Now, if anything, they were proven more right than us, but like you having negative takes on Drake May early in the year, you brought everybody out of Boston to come tweet at you.
Yeah, it wasn't so much negative as it was like, slow down.
Right.
They're not playing anybody. Eagles at the Niners, Niners at the Eagles. Eagles now a 5.5-point favorite as they just keep taking money. Like, everybody knows the final score on this. This was the game, the question on the Megapod, which game do you want no part of on the side? You get to bet five of these on the side, but you get a six pass on the sixth. This was the game everybody picked, Niners-Eagles. Though I believe Will had a play on the total.
But I am on the Eagles. I bet them I'd open, though, when it was three. It was 3-1-15. We've moved all the way out to 5.5 now. I get it. I think this is the... Is this the game most affected by injury news this week? Probably. Like, Trent Williams and Ricky Pearsall being truly questionable, right? Like, that's a big deal for the Niners.
Yeah, because it was kind of assumed when they didn't play last week, the reports were... They were so close to playing, they just, you know...
They wanted to give him another week.
They just wanted to give him another week, so it's not really going to be a big deal for next week. That was kind of the impression. They did get good news on Trent Williams' injury front, though. But D. Winters, Keon White, they were not at practice either. Mm-hmm.
And if you just look at an injury report, you're going to see a lot of Eagles that are on theirs, too, but it sounds like they're all pretty much good to go, including having Lane Johnson back, which is huge.
Ricky Pearsall was seen jogging on the sideline. There's that. You know who else was jogging on the sideline? Not even doing jogging, but sprinting on the sideline? Fred Warner. If the Niners win, he has a chance to play next week. Big if. But just
Is that what they're saying now?
He's on the horizon. I thought it was going to be an NFC championship.
Yeah, that's what they kept saying forever.
They've brought it up to the NFC divisional round now.
Fascinating, man. We're just digging in more on this Niners team, too, man. Like, you're talking about a team, and I'm looking at Pro Football Focus stats here. Team that finished second-rated offense in the NFL, finished the season, 28th-rated defense.
Yeah.
And, like, I've had a lot of criticism over this Eagles team this year. I think the defense is very good and solid and consistent, though.
Yep.
And if there is... You've talked about flipping the switch, right? Flipping the switch with this Eagles offense at home against a weak defense. This might be exactly what they need to get going.
What's my man's name that is the Eagles fan that was talking about this the other day, leaving the studio?
Justin Emery.
Justin.
Fine producer here.
Justin had a great point, though, I thought, also about Hurts, which is...
Oh, I bet that.
You really do feel like, and this is maybe triggers a prop bet for you, you really do feel like Jalen Hurts, by design... Right, deliberately didn't run. Any 50-50 mm-hmm. thought, he was like, I'm just throwing the ball. I'm not going to run until, I would imagine now, where he will be more willing to use his leg.
Yep. I think that was brought up multiple times throughout the regular season. We've heard that in years past, right, with Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, hey, we're going to save their legs for the playoffs.
But like Josh Allen never sticks to that.
No, he never did. And all three of those guys... are still at a different level to me than a Jalen Hurts, right? So I think the criticism was fair, but okay, now's the time. Now's the time to throw out any restrictions that you might have had. I did bet, actually, this morning, over 31.5 rushing yards for Jalen Hurts.
We'll see. That's the game on the side I want no part of, because you could tell me the Eagles blow them out. You could also tell me the Niners win. I would not be surprised. Chargers at Patriots. The game I'm most looking forward to, just in terms of the matchup itself, the bets I have, I'm on the Chargers +3.5. I'm on the Chargers sprinkled on the money line at +161. Patriots, easiest schedule per DVOA, third easiest since 1978. Not just this year, third easiest schedule since 1978. Patriots, per the Cleve TA snap chart, have faced 61% of opposing snaps against backup quarterbacks or quarterbacks ranked 30th in EPA or lower, the most in the NFL this year. Just giving you facts. Now, on the other hand, Kelly, you were telling me he had some sharp bettors. I think the Patriots are going to blow the Chargers off the field.
Yeah.
I just don't see it that way.
Heard that
at
a
all.
Couple times this week.
Give me this much. I've been consistent about these about this all
you
year.
You have.
Yeah.
You have.
What was it? You were going to bet everything in your pocket that I was going to take the Chargers plus the points. Yeah. $8 he was going to bet you.
When I saw this was over three, I was like, yeah, Gil be in on that one. This is the one. This is the one I want nothing to do with. You know, I really don't know what we're going to see. I think this Patriots team, we were talking about health earlier. I think this is one of the factors that is in the Patriots' favor, right? They are healthy. The Chargers still have the offensive line banged up issues. How much does that come into play? You know, if this needs to turn into, you know, Herbert throwing the ball everywhere, are they going to be able to move the balls successfully? I don't know. I really don't know. This is the one I'm staying away from. Side and total. Honestly, total, I don't know what to make of either.
I don't want any part.
I think they're pretty correlated. I actually think if it's Chargers, it's probably the under, and if it's Patriots, it's probably the over.
Agree with that. Monday night, I've become more fascinated by this Monday night game as the week has gone on. Texans at the Steelers. Now, the Steelers, amazing win. Obviously, a missed Tyler Loop field goal to win it for the Steelers the other night to win the AFC North at Acrisure. They'll be at Acrisure for this one where the Texans are 3-point road favorites. But the whole thing with that game, again, was the Ravens could not generate any pass rush on Aaron Rodgers. And when you don't generate any pass rush on Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers becomes, wait for it, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But if you do generate pass rush on him, well, he's 42 years old and that age starts to show. Guess which team in the NFL would you say is the best at generating pass rush without blitzing anybody?
Oh, I know this one, Gil. It's the Houston Texans.
That's right. So I feel like it's a great matchup in that respect, and yet this is where your NFL historical blink Malcolm Gladwell thing kicks in, where you're like, yeah, but it's the Steelers at home at Acrisure. What's that song they play?
At night.
Renegade, right before the fourth quarter. You know, you can just, what a setting this is going to be for the Texans and the Steelers. I don't have a play on it, but I'm sure by game time I will. Yeah, I'll convince myself of one or the other.
I laid the three with the Texans. And in full transparency, besides everything that I have tied up with the Jags, really nothing else is that big of a bet for me. Like, even the Eagles, I got the great number of three. I didn't bet that crazy big or anything. Texans, though, brought this up earlier. If you ever, someone like me was on the Ravens last week, yeah, I think it's pretty easy to talk yourself into betting the Texans this week at a same number or even better than what the Ravens were at, where I think you're getting a better football team overall with the Houston Texans. Yes, much of that has to do with their defense. We'll bring one thing up. Is this just a live betting game, too? Like, is this like whoever takes the lead, you just bet on that team, right? Like, if Texans get out to us 10-0 lead, I trust that defense to hold. If the Steelers somehow get up on the Texans, I don't know if I trust C.J. Stroud to get back in the game.
Yeah, it's a thought. You might be right. I'll ask a sports talk radio-ish question about all these games on the other side. Dr. Bob will join us. Zach will join us before Dr. Bob, and then it's Fezzik. It's a numbers game on a football Friday right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro. Get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now and get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests. Real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert picks and prop data throughout the NFL and college football playoffs. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets, beating the book. Always appreciated. DJ Jams. Let's see what he says here. That Ole Miss 1-minute and 51-second drive at the end was too fast and left too much time for Miami to come back and score. Joe Judge, worst time manager ever, and Ole Miss was robbed in the end, in the end zone. The defender blatantly pulled the receiver down, P.I. Okay, DJ Jams. The thing is, they never call that, though. Never. Never, ever.
I'm very glad you and I are on the same page with this morning.
I'm shocked that it was such a big deal to people.
I'm seeing tweets this morning. I'm seeing everything. P.I., you got to call that.
Also, if there was no P.I., the chances of him catching that ball in the corner of the end zone, like it was just such a small percentage play.
Also, I think Montesano texted this earlier, right? It's like this is not the NFL either. Right? Like, it's not like the game's decided on that call, because it's not like you're getting the ball at the 1 yard line.
Why should you get bailed out on a corner of the end? Look, stop it. Poke therapy. Mike Tomlin has never lost a Monday Night Football game at home. Proceed with caution.
It was Drew and Andy talking about this stat. He's at Monday Night Football. I think it goes back even further than that. Like, it might be an ever thing.
Have we ever mentioned Mike Tomlin stats on this show before? I'm curious.
It might be an ever thing. The other thing that's important, though, is that apparently there was a Monday night game they played, which I don't remember this, Monday Night Football game they played in that was a playoff game, but it was moved to Tuesday or Wednesday during the pandemic.
Oh, there was a Skins game they played, also they got moved, and then the Skins were two touchdown dogs and beat them.
So I remember doing that. I remember doing that in the regular season. I don't remember that in the playoffs
That was a regular season. Yeah. David Dwyer, Gil could not agree more. Outdoor football, cold weather destinations. This year we have Denver, Seattle, New England, Chicago. Awesome. Love the show. Thank you, David. It's a very anti-Kelly tweet, which I really approve about that tweet as well on that subject. Billy Charlebois, the three dome teams in the playoffs were 3-8 on the road versus playoff teams. A little worried about my faith in those three teams now. And Ray in Texas, I live 30 miles from a massive Buc-ee's clothing store, brisket, breakfast tacos, convenience store, 150 gas pumps, 100 bathroom stalls. Store managers make more than $225,000.
Whoa.
Whoa.
What,
there you go.
I guess here's the question I have. When I was leaving Florida, Wawa's was just coming into Florida, and everybody in Florida made a huge deal about Wawa, this is great, and they're nice. So what's the is that the equivalent, or is Buc-ee's way better?
You know what the one was when my mom's last year or so, Wegmans came to DC. Wegmans is where she, Gilly, you should really go to Wegmans, over and over. I was okay, I'm going to Wegmans, for God's sakes.
I'm a 7-Eleven lifer, okay? Too many 7-Elevens.
Sorry, I'm a Circle K guy myself. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Cohen joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX, part of the whole glue that holds this whole operation together. Let's talk some tennis. Let's talk some college football. Let's talk some NBA. Zach, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. You have a tennis play to start for us? I like this.
Yeah, I have one play for tonight. It's Marta Kostyuk plus 112 against Jessica Pegula. Pegula is just kind of in that same situation she was in towards the end of last year, where she just keeps playing grueling matches, and it is very early in the season, but there really is no offseason in tennis, so I think the fatigue is always fatigue in this sport, and I do think she'll be a little bit tired here, and I think that Kostyuk has looked as good as anyone since the start of the year. I mean, it's been a week, hasn't been long, but from what I've watched so far, she looks like a top five player in the world. And this is a player that's always been really talented. So I think this will be a really good match.
Marta Kostyuk, who, if I'm not mistaken, has beaten both Amanda Anisimova and Mira Andreeva here back-to-back. Wow.
Yep, back-to-back.
I did the impossible. Zach and I were talking about this off air. I did the impossible last night. I had two tennis plays, both ending in retirement in walkovers.
In your favor?
Yes, both in my favor, because I didn't look good. In one of them, I was 6 points away from a loss. I was just talking about Zach about this off air. We did a deep dive on, because of this last night, how have the withdrawals gone over the years for me since the beginning of, we went back to 2024. And you can't really do it precisely, but you can see what the score was at the time of the withdrawal. I got destroyed on them in 2024. I made about half back in 2025. And then this year has started with two ridiculous ones.
Oh, real quick. Yeah. Sorry, Zach, because I'm actually beyond fascinated in this. How many matches total did you have?
Oh, great question. It was, I would say, about as many, it was about 30 total since the beginning of 2024. All right.
I was going to guess 30 a year.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was a total. I think it was 30.
House rules, by the way.
House rules.
House rules are more important in tennis than anything else, because you want to know if a match gets graded after one set or in the first set, just everything. So always be looking up your house rules are.
MGM and Circa, only one set needs to be done before it's graded. Whereas, Bookmaker, I think DraftKings is also a one set shop, but Bookmaker, Caesars got to get to the end of it. Otherwise it's a refund.
FanDuel was anything's official in the first set last year.
Yeah. Okay, college football playoff tonight. Indiana, 3.5-point favorites against Oregon. Zach, where do you stand on this?
I really like Indiana minus 3.5. I know that there's a lot of revenge talk for Oregon. I know that it looks like the sucker side, Indiana. But, man, if you could win by 10 in Autzen and you now play on a neutral site, I really think that the Hoosiers should find a way to get this done. I feel like all the numbers kind of when looking at like situational football, favor Indiana, like third down percentage, they're the much better team. Field position, like to start drives and, you know, to put pin defenses back, like they've been a lot better than Oregon has this year. And I do kind of think that I just don't want to go against Cignetti again. Last week I had Alabama +7.5. I cited the talent mismatch there and it ended up being an absolute blowout. And I think this could be very similar. I think Lanning, for as good as he's been with Oregon, not a great big game coach. Cignetti seems to be like a special, you know, coach in terms of preparation and motivation. Like, I think Indiana is going to be ready to go here.
From your lips to God, let's make it happen. Let's go, Hoosiers. Zach on the Hoosiers, giving up the points, giving up the 3.5 tonight against Oregon. The winner faces Miami in the in the national championship 10 days from now. All right, NBA. Did I see this correct? Was a game canceled because of, what was it, condensation on the court? Are we still having that problem?
Last night, condensation on the court. There was it was like a light slate too, so there was already fewer games. Right. It was terrible.
It reduced it from 4 games to 3 games, I believe. All right, you have a pair of games you like tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I have some player props up, not up yet on Visa.com. I'll write them up right after this, but Harwood Handicappers will have some more player props. But two of my plays for tonight are 76ers money line against the Magic at -145. I'll start with that one. Like, I just think that this Magic team is kind of reeling right now. If you look at the last 15 games, this team has a -3.9 net rating. In that same span, Philly is 9-6 with a +3.1 net rating. And I just think that these absences that Orlando is dealing with right now are absolutely huge. When you talk about Franz Wagner and Jalen Suggs, you're talking about two of the better defenders on a defensive-minded team. And I think that in this specific matchup, not having Suggs is going to be absolutely terrible because he's one of the better point of attack defenders in the league. He's strong. He's physical. He's like, he's just very physical with, you know, these smaller guards, like the ones that the Sixers have, like Maxey and Edgecombe. And I do think that if those guys just kind of get going, it's going to be really tough for the Magic to win this game. I also think if Embiid plays, he's questionable. This will be a game that he dominates as well because Orlando's pretty weak at the center spot.
All right. And then you have a play in the Rockets Blazers game tonight.
Yeah, I took the Blazers. I bought it to 7.5 because I was able to get that at -126. And I do like 7.5 as a key number in the NBA. And I just am surprised that this is the spread for this game. I would have taken it at +6.5 if I didn't find the price that I found. But we just saw these teams play the other night. The Rockets are not playing with Alperen Şengün right now. He's injured. And that just puts a lot on Kevin Durant against the defensive-minded Portland team, where I think that the Blazers are going to do a little bit of a better job of slowing down Durant than they did the other night. Durant had a big game, but that was still a game that the Blazers won outright. And I don't think it's crazy to think that they could win this game outright as well. I just think this team's playing really well. Over the last 7 games, they're 6-1, both straight up and against the spread. The Rockets have been pretty bad under Ime Udoka as favorites in the 6.5 to 12 range. And I just think that Portland at home has been always, you know, a tough team to play against. And I do think, like I said, like Tumani Kamara can do a decent job on Durant. And I'm not sure the Rockets have much of an answer for Denny Avdija, who kind of hurting our Keontae George bet in most improved player.
Dude, it's incredible.
Like, Denny Avdija's last 4 games, 41-6-2. Talk about points, rebounds, and assists. 33-8-9, 29-10-10, 34-7-11.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up. I'm like, hey, Zach, don't the Rockets have one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA? What's going on? Can't stop Denny Avdija, though.
Can't stop him. Can only hope to contain him, as Dan Patrick used to say.
I was, 2 comments quick. For Sixers, I have nothing in the NBA tonight. Sixers was the closest I was to anything, Zach, so I agree with you there. Blazers-Rockets, I played that under the other day. That got home. I think it's still kind of the same type of rock fight. So, like the dog, like the under in that game.
I know we were going to do tennis, college football, and NBA, but real quick in 20 seconds, what's your favorite wild card weekend play, Zach?
I think it's the Eagles -4.5. I've seen enough of the 49ers. Like, I think a lot of people like to paint like the Patriots and the Bears as the frauds of this season. I really think it's the 49ers. When they've had to play good teams, they've looked terrible.
Zach Cohen, everybody. Zach, enjoy the weekend. Appreciate it as always.
You too.
Betting on X is where you can find him, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Speaking of that, Dr. Bob on the other side is Play of the Week next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game. I have a golf bet so interesting that I don't even know if I want to say it on air that I want to throw out at you later.
Scottie Scheffler to win a major?
Correct.
-125 Is that the number I saw?
I got even better than that.
Oh, good. I did look at these. We're going to talk more about those next week.
Oh, so I shouldn't bring it up then?
Later. Yeah, we can talk about it later. Yeah.
Uncle Bush on Twitter. With so many younger first-year coaches in this year's playoffs, which coach will have a coaching gaffe moment that may cost them due to inexperience? Vrabel, Johnson, Cohen, Canales, McDonald? When it comes down to a coin flip game, should you just go with experience? It's a great question. Who would you say is the most likely of that group to have a gaffe moment?
Well,
I don't know.
If we're talking, like...
They all done great.
I mean, Vrabel's coached in this league much... much more experience than those other guys.
That's correct.
Dave Canales isn't going to have... He isn't going to be in a spot to have a moment that matters that much.
Okay.
So I'll go Liam Cohen. He burns us.
Okay. I don't know. I mean... It is likely that one will, though, at some point. Lance Schaefer, don't worry, fellas. Your early take on fake May will be proven right this weekend. He's not special like our boys. Hey. See, he just put Caleb Williams, and then he threw Jaden Daniels in there. He wanted me to read that. Mm-hmm. I saw what happened there, Lance Schaefer. Mm-hmm. Jamie Leva, also think it's a good idea to play all hockey games in the streets, Kelly? Come on, man. Have a fantastic weekend, gentlemen. Oh, man. 3-Jack, Gil, I see Puka Nacua moved to 10-1. At FanDuel for Offensive Player of the Year, JSN still -2,000. Dart 12-1 for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Tet -7,000. Did I miss a game since Sunday? No, people bet this, and I don't think it takes much to move those, though. I'm surprised FanDuel still has it up.
Kalshi was... Danny and I were looking at those yesterday. That Puka movement was serious in about 24 hours.
I bet it before the movement. I bet him at 7%. Let's go. I like that Aaron Schott segment we had. And then Scotty, Gil, regarding the Bruno Mars efficiency comment, allow me to put Dr. Dre in the ring. He officially has 2 albums, but he has countless hits for over almost 40 years. That's scary to say. And I'm not even including the songs he produced and artists he launched. Well, if we're doing produced and artists he launched, then Babyface, right, has to be like the guy, that kind of thing. But yes, I understand the point. But I'm going to go Bruno in terms of this, again, putting sports analytics to best bang for your most, the highest strike rate in terms of songs put out that result in bangers. Bruno Mars is, I think, top of list. But yes, there are candidates.
Puka 6-1 currently. It's Kalshi.
Let's go. Keep coming down. Come on, voters. Do the right thing. Dr. Bob joins us now, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a phenomenal season of picks on the show and just in general for him, college and pro. He's kind enough to join us once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from somewhere outside Denver, Colorado. You can follow him on Twitter at @drbobsports. That's Dr. Bob Sports. And drbobsports.com with lots of free analysis, both college and pro, throughout both regular seasons and maybe even beyond. How you doing, Bob? Good morning.
Doing all right. Once again, was living my life, and I'm not working quite as much this time of year because it's not a full slate. I'm out there talking to my wife and hanging out, and I was like, shoot, I've got a radio show. Just not that you're not at the top of my mind, but you're not on the top of my mind.
I understand. Listen, I understand. It's a good way to start a segment, Bob, every time by saying that your wife is more important than I am. I understand.
We might be number 2 on the priority list, though.
Yeah, we might be 2.
2's not bad.
We'll tell her we apologize for breaking up the conversation. Okay.
Oh, no, she's gonna thank you for an excuse to get rid of me.
I don't know that this is your play tonight's game, but could you just give us your thoughts on Oregon and Indiana?
I it's one of those things. Like, still with Oregon, they, and I mentioned this last week, is that they just have. I played the under last week against Texas Tech. The Oregon offense just has not been really good against good defensive teams. The only good defensive teams that they did anything against was James Madison in that first round of the playoffs. But when they, in the other games against good defensive teams, and let's see, we can include Indiana, obviously, in that, Penn State before they lost their linebacker. Penn State early in the season was good. Even Wisconsin, Iowa, those types of teams, they just have not been good against those teams. So in 6 games against Power 4 conference teams, if you saw James Madison against good defensive teams, like I said, Penn State before losing Rojas, Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, Washington, and Texas Tech, they've averaged just 19.7 offensive points in those 6 games. So they've relatively struggled, and they only got 13 offensive points against Indiana because they had one pick six to give them their 20. I'm not going to bet Indiana, because if you weigh every game equally, I think the line should be more like Indiana minus one. But Oregon just obliterated and blew out really bad defense teams like Rutgers and Oklahoma State and stuff like that. So if you sort of just look at their performances against better than average or better defensive teams, then I come down and I get Indiana by 3.4. So it's kind of, but if you want to take it to the extreme and say, if you only include Oregon's games against those top six defenses, that they faced, then maybe you get a lean with Indiana, but that's a stretch. You don't want to throw out that much information and just, cherry pick, in these six games. But I think there's something to it. I was not really a Dante Moore fan coming into the season, and they tear up bad teams and they struggle against good defensive teams. That could be the case again. I mean, last week they only averaged 4.1 yards a play against Texas Tech. So even though they won the game, I think I could make an argument for either team basically in that game. So,
okay. I know that wasn't a play, but I'm sure people wanted to hear what you had to say about it, since it is, of course, front of mind tonight. What about your play of the week for us at the wild card round of the NFL? What do you have?
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. Last time I was on the show, I think this was 2 weeks ago, I had Cleveland over Pittsburgh as my play on the show. And that one won. Pittsburgh's offense without Metcalf is night and day difference. I mean, he makes such a difference to that team. And here, Houston has that elite defense. Teams have to change their normal game plan to find a way to have success against the Texans. Pittsburgh really doesn't have to change anything about what they normally do, because what they normally do kind of takes advantage of what the Texans do defensively. Pressure rate, Steelers are second in the league in pass blocking efficiency, so Texas not likely to get to the quarterback as much, especially with Aaron Rodgers being the third fastest average time to throw of any quarterback in the league. So I think that works and takes a little bit, kind of uses Houston's aggressiveness against them. That Pittsburgh's offense targets running backs 25% of the time. Second, Kenneth Gainwell's really come on. He ranks fourth among running backs in yards per route run. And the screen game sort of takes advantage of that aggressiveness that Houston has, kind of slows down their pass rush a little bit. And Houston leads the league. Yeah, they designed those plays really well. Pittsburgh leads the league with 6.5 yards after the catch. It's a lot of short passes, but they turn those short passes into better than normal gains, by leading the league in yards after catch. Now, Houston's defense is the one weak link. On short throws, air yards of 10 yards or less, they have the ninth most missed tackles in the league. So those screen passes should work, pretty well against Houston's defense. Yeah. The one weakness they have is that they, those linebackers don't make tackles as well as they should on the short passes. Houston also has an 80% standard pass rush rate, which is the highest in the league. Pittsburgh's offense ranks second relatively versus a standard pass rush compared to the blitz. So that matches up pretty well with them. And then you've got DK Metcalf, as I mentioned, coming back. Keeps the defenses honest, allows them to run that short game stuff that they like to run, the short passing game. And Texans, they did the four-man pass rush. They play a lot of cover four, sixth highest cover four rate in the league. And Metcalf being back makes them respect that deep ball. So they'll probably still play a lot of cover four, but that opens up the space underneath for the quick passes and passes to the tight end. Pittsburgh's offense is relatively good against cover four. They average 16% more yards per play versus cover four compared to other coverages. And that's the seventh best in the league in that metric. So there's a lot of things going, in their way. And the last point I want to make is the Steelers defense early in the season struggled, especially relative to their talent level. They were 25th in the league and expected points added per play in the first 8 weeks of the season. Then they moved Jalen Ramsey from nickel back to safety. Since then, Pittsburgh's defense is conceding negative 0.3 EPA per play with Ramsey at safety, which is 0.12 EPA per play better than the first half of the season. That's about 7 points better. And I mentioned that they're now allowing negative EPA per play with Ramsey at safety because CJ Stroud, against defenses that are allowing a negative EPA per play this season, he's only averaged 5.3 yards per pass play in those games. So he's tended to struggle against the better defenses, and Pittsburgh now has a good defense playing to kind of the level expected of them when you looked at their talent at the beginning of the season. So I think Pittsburgh's defense is playing about as good as they can. Pittsburgh's offense is back healthy, matches up pretty well. With all that considered, I think Steelers by one is what I would make this game. So wow. Take the three.
Wow. Chris Velika just texted. He goes, Dr. Bob is emptying the clip here. There you go. Well done, Bob. That's why we have you on, because we don't hear those like Houston tackling problems. We don't hear that anywhere else. Bob, thank you. Enjoy the weekend. Say hello to the wife.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Dr. Bob, everybody. Predictive sports modeling pioneer. He prefers legend. Coming back, Steve Fezzik on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.